Okay, the prof is back on the line. Prof, I was saying that looking at these operations and how they're unfolding, what do you make of it? And for me, what I find interesting is that it's only happening in townships, which could be described as poor areas.
Yes, no, good afternoon, Aubrey. Good afternoon to your wonderful listeners. This is unfortunately something that has been brewing for some time. There are many challenges that South Africa is facing, and it's very unfortunate that we have to see these things playing out, because there's a caveat in terms of law enforcement, but also coming from South Africans. Typically, South Africans do not respect rule and order. I mean, you can go to any town, how we do not stop at stop signs and robots and all these things built up. We have created a normless society. And when you've got a situation like this, people will just wake up one day and decide. But one should also not be naive. The people of these communities are feeling the brunt of murders and of crime, and it's good for us from a very distance to say that these people are acting irrational, but they are responding to a situation. But we can never condone where people are undressed or where violence and crime is met by illegal means by the residents themselves.
Because while we all face crime, it has an impact on us differently. And if you look at the different classes as well, you have a middle class or upper middle class as well that is able to, for instance, look to the private sector in the form of getting security in to try and protect their assets and protect their family. But that's not that simple, because for townships, we're speaking here again about people who don't have money with a high unemployment rate.
Yes, no, most definitely. I mean, if you look at people in the township, they are already at a disadvantage. Your middle class, and I refer to even black people, they can cushion all the impact of the current economic crisis that we're facing. Many impoverished communities and households can't do that, and that's why the only way people can vent them out then is to go to the street. I mean, if you have looked at the scenes, I was quite not surprised to see elderly people also having joined some of these protests to give you an indication how desperate and helpless people are. Unlike in your middle-class society or your predominantly wealthy residential areas, where people will be able to even respond differently to situations, write an email, communicate via other means, and you've got your impoverished people who do not have those means, and unfortunately the only means for them is to embark on these what we'll say visible protests or collective action that we've been seeing going throughout South Africa.
Then what does this then do to the children? Because I'm just now imagining, like, let's say kids come from school and there's a protest action that is taking place, or even in the morning for that matter, and they're not able to go to school because there's a protest happening, or then they join the protest, but they are then exposed to this high level of violence, and sometimes perhaps amongst the groups that are crowding around people who are being beaten up, or even sometimes dead bodies.
You know, it has a huge impact, because what we have done, the adults who actually taste the democracy since 1994, and what we don't realize is that we are denying future generations, to live a life which is violent-free, peaceful life. Because what we're doing, we're inculcating a culture of violence. You can just look at the culture of violence at our public schools, or schools for that matter, and it all starts there. These issues of gangsterism, drug abuse, starts at our schools. And this is the unfortunate you know, the current influence that we have on our kids, it definitely has a huge impact. And this is what we are building. We're building a violent society where children will grow up and think that violence is definitely a proper way, means of resolving some of our challenges.
What should the response from society then be? What is it that we should be doing, irrespective of our class? And I know that there is also, I guess, the urge to say that, but the state should be playing its role. But as we know, the state currently is failing to play that particular role. But as society, how do we respond to that?
No, we unfortunately led by a state, which it's also at a back foot. Many of our leaders have to fight for their political careers. And we need to go back to the basics. And one basic free principle, a universal principle, is that we need to start in our houses. Families need to start inculcating a culture of respect. We know we don't even need to have street committees as in the past, but we know when things are going wrong in our streets, and people should become actively involved in their communities, not only by means of protest, but by fighting all these immoral ills that are happening in our street. That way, I think we will be able to tackle the current scourge that we have. I mean, if you look at what is happening in Kagiso, all these shacks that have been built, people know about it. They see these things when they start, but they keep mum up until it's a problem. We need to go back to enhancing our families, strengthen families, and impart, universal values, values of respect and respecting life and your fellow human beings.
Prof, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Your thoughts on that, 011-714-2006, your tweets at Aldrin St. Pierre, and your voice notes on 0614-104-107.